Okay, now where did it go? There it is. Okay, good. All right, so it's crazy. I looked at the weather report on my phone, and it didn't say anything about rain, but obviously it looked like it was going to rain, and it is raining. So there you go. You have to rely on your own instincts, for sure. But that's good, because that means I don't have to worry about watering my garden today. Big news, lots of things going on. Some of you know that I lost my sweet cat, my Bracha Basimcha, that I love very much, and I had for nearly 8 years, an orange tabby, and I was wanting to get another cat, but I had to find a new place to live, and I did that, and I got moved, and turns out that a friend of mine, a woman that I've been in contact with over the period of time of the loss of my cat, was friendly with a woman in her community in Pennsylvania that did cat rescue. And lo and behold, they had an almost two-year-old cat that desperately needed a place to live. And because he couldn't really get along with other cats, although he was sweet, but just feisty around other cats. So long story short, my friend drove up with her whole family, four kids, including an infant, from Pennsylvania, and brought my new pussycat home to me. And his name is Natan B'Shalom, a gift from God, which certainly he is. But, you know, watching him get settled in, it's very quirky. He went for one of my avocado plants instead of the cat box. I had my previous cat ruined one of my avocados. I had to throw it out, because the urine is that strong. But then he did see he did get into the cat box. I took the cover off of it, and I think he got, into it, and it was good. So he found his food, and he found his water, and he's interested in this, that, and the other. Jumps up on the bed, and he's completely opposite to the personality to my Simcha. So he's cuddly. I mean, Simcha could be, but not so much. Anyway, he jumps on the bed. So it's quite a learning curve. But meanwhile, this is the really bizarre thing. Last night, around 10:30, I get a phone call. And through my cell phone, I didn't recognize the number. Anyway, the woman, I didn't recognize her voice right away, because she spoke with a bit of an accent. She's a neighbor in my old neighborhood who I had visited with. She had beautiful flower border all up and down her driveway. And we got to talking about the gardening. And anyway, she had seen my poster for my missing kitty. And she said, yeah, he used to come by there. He would just, come through and wouldn't stop. Anyway, she believed that she saw my cat. Hello? This is almost 10 months. June 3rd will be 10 months. But she said he was wearing a collar and he looked kind of scraggly. Well, my cat never wore a collar, wouldn't wear one. Whether or not it's possible that somebody took my cat in after he got really hungry, I don't know. But the timing of it was so bizarre, because this new cat that I got can't really be with other cats. So I don't know. I don't know. It's just very, very weird. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. The universe is unfolding as it does. So here's a message from, as I crash into everything, that's not what we want. Let's see if we can get this back. Oh, dear. Oh, no. There we go. All right, so babies were born to be breastfed. It's the best possible source of nutrition for newborn babies. And newborn humans. Recent studies show you can lower your child's risk for respiratory illnesses and even hospitalizations for illnesses like pneumonia by breastfeeding exclusively for 6 months. Among the many other benefits, breastfeeding nurtures the mother-baby bond, is environmentally friendly, cost-effective, and can help prevent postpartum depression. For more information, talk to your healthcare provider. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All right, there you have it. So, some of you may be aware, if you are, you know, a listener, that we've been counting the days from Passover to Shavuos, the 49 days, 7 weeks, seven times seven, 7 days in a week. And it's called counting the Omer, to prepare for the holiday of Shavuos, the holiday of weeks, the holiday of receiving of the Torah. And so we're really coming up to that Saturday night. Today is the Midos, the emotional quality of Netzach. And the color is light pink, and it's light pink within blue, which is Malchut, kingdom. And so just a few more days to count left, coming up to the holiday of Shavuos. And if I can get my phone, I wanted to share with you a little bit with Rabbi Sacks, who used to be the chief rabbi of Great Britain. Of course, he's left us now, but he's left us quite a legacy of knowledge. And I did have it pulled up, but now it's, where is it? So let's see if I can find it. So, just got a text from my friend Erica, who says she's got home. Everything was good. Very good. So, why am I not finding this? Maybe it's further up. Let's see. Okay. Huh. There it is, the Rabbi Sacks Legacy Trust, Insights for Shavuot. Here we go. So, now they have all kinds of things online if you want to go to their website, the Rabbi Sacks Legacy. They have a tikkun, Lael Shavuot, that's based for the all-night learning. So let's see what we can say. There's a Shavuot in a nutshell. Shavuot is the second of the three biblical foot festivals, the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals, falling on the 6th of Sivan and continuing on the 7th of Sivan in the diaspora, that's here, like in the States, outside of Israel. Shavuot celebrates the moment when, 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt, the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai for the giving of the Torah. It also celebrates the wheat harvest in Eretz Yisrael. Shavuot means weeks, as it falls 7 weeks, a week of weeks, after Pesach, the culmination of the 49-day Omer period, which began on the second night of Pesach. Because of this, Shavuot is also known as Pentecost, which means 50 in Greek. It is the 50th day after the completion of the counting of 49 days. Other names for Shavuot found in the Torah are Chag HaKatzir, the festival of reaping, and Yom HaBikurim, day of the first fruits. And in the Talmud, it is also known as Atzeret, refraining or holding back. This connects Shavuot to Pesach in a similar way that Shemini Atzeres is connected to Sukkot. We also refer to Shavuot in our prayers as Zman Matan Torah, the time of the giving of the Torah. While there are no rituals associated with Shavuot in the Torah, there are several beautiful and meaningful customs that have developed to help us celebrate Shavuot. These include Tikkun Lael Shavuot, staying up all night to learn Torah, eating dairy foods, decorating the shul with flowers and greenery, and the reading of Megillat Ruth. So, let's read a little bit more. Oh, it opened up. Okay, so, let's see. Oh, pretty flowers there. So, we've got that part. Torah, our greatest gift. On the face of it, Shavuot is a brief festival with few distinctive practices, and at least as far as the Torah is concerned, no specific historical content. But Shavuot is the festival of Jewish identity. Judaism is supremely a religion of the land, The whole of Torah, from Abraham to the death of Moshe, is a journey toward it, and Shavuot was the supreme festival of the land. There were agricultural elements on Pesach and Sukkot also, but Shavuot was the time of the grain harvest and of bringing first fruits to the temple and declaring, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He brought us to this land and to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. However, from the outset, Shavuot was also the festival of the giving of the law, seen as the culmination of the seven-week journey that began with Pesach. But every nation had laws, and for much of the biblical era, other issues, political, military, and cultural, held center stage. The prophets tirelessly argued that without faithfulness to God and justice and compassion to their fellow humans, Israel would eventually suffer a momentous defeat. But all too few were listening, and the reforms of kings like Hezekiah and Yeshayahu proved too little, too late. Only with the experience of the Babylonian exile did people come to see that the law of Israel was unlike that of any other nation, not just because of its content, but because of who gave it, when and where. It was given not at Mount Zion in Jerusalem, but at Mount Sinai in the desert. The law came before the land. Therefore, though they had lost the land, they still had the law. Though they had lost the country, they still have the covenant. The law of Israel was not like the law of every other nation, the decree of kings or the edict of a legislative assembly. It came from God Himself, the infinite, eternal. Therefore, it could never be lost or nullified. He continues, "This was when the full significance of Shavuot began to come clear. The real miracle was not the land, but the law that preceded the land. Ezra and Nehemiah understood this after the Babylonian exile, as did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the midst of the rebellion against Rome. Without them, it's highly doubtful whether Jews or Judaism would have survived." Just a little bit more here. For the better part of 2,000 years, Jews lost their land, and once again, as it was for the exile in Babylon, it was Torah that sustained the people as a people, giving them the assurance that one day they would return. For in truth, this always was our greatest gift. The Torah, our constitution of liberty and the sovereignty of God, our marriage contract with heaven itself, written in letters of black fire on white fire, joining the infinity of God and the multitude of humankind in an unbreakable bond of love and law. The scroll Jews carried wherever they went, and that carried them. This is the Torah, the voice of heaven, as it is heard on earth, the word that lights the world. He is such a terrific, terrific teacher. So you can go to his website for more resources for Shavuot, and I strongly suggest that you do that. RabbiSachs.org. He's a master teacher, and we are so fortunate that he left us such a legacy of teaching. So let's see what we want to do now. I think we will go with something from Helfgott, who is a great cantor. Yeah, some Chazanut. See if all of our decks are up and running. That would be lovely. So, let's do, Birkat Kohanim from Elo. Oh, of course. I have to reset the board. Just give me one second here. Oh, there we go. All right. So, I wonder why it's not playing. Let's see.
Yeah. Bye.
So beautiful. So that was Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, and it is from a CD called Live in Jerusalem. And Carlbach in Jerusalem. And Al Ela, Nachamu, and Eliyahu. And before that, Yitzhak Meir Helfgott, the wonderful cantor, singing Birkat Kohanim from his CD Helfgott 5. This is WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. So, why Jerusalem? Okay, because we just celebrated Yerushalayim Day. Let me share a little bit about that, because the next thing I'm going to play is also recorded by Eitan Katz, called Live in Jerusalem. So, Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, is the anniversary of the liberation and unification of Jerusalem under Jewish sovereignty that occurred during the Six-Day War, and that occurred this year on Sunday. The liberation of Jerusalem in 1967 marked the first time in thousands of years that the entire city of Jerusalem, the holiest city in Judaism, was under Jewish sovereignty. The destruction of Jerusalem was a watershed event in Jewish history that began thousands of years of mourning for Jerusalem. So it follows that the reunification of Jerusalem should be a joyous celebration that begins the process of reversing thousands of years of destruction and exile. Jerusalem is central to the Jewish tradition. Jews face in the direction of Jerusalem, and all the prayer services are filled with references to Jerusalem. The observance of Yom Yerushalayim outside of the city cannot compare to its celebration in reunited Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, thousands of people march around the city and walk through the liberated Old City, where Jews were denied access from 1948 to 1967, while it was under Jordanian control. The march ends at the Kotel, the Western Wall, one of the ancient retaining walls surrounding the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site. Once everyone gets to the Kotel, there are speeches and concerts and celebratory dancing. So, that is from a site called the Jewish Virtual Library. Yeah, very nice. So, let's listen to some more music from Live in Jerusalem. No, I think that's the wrong one. Let's try this one.
I can't express how much...
There we go.
Hakar Satov I have to you, wonderful Chevre, for coming out tonight. Let's sing one more Nigan. Let's sing one more Nigan. Mamish, close your eyes. The sound crew, the video crew, the photo crew, everyone here working, stop working for a second and close your eyes and dive in with us. Give me harmony. I die, 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 die. I die, die. I die, 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 die.
Hey. Samach reim ha'uvim ki samech acho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem sameach tisamach reim ha. Sameicha cho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem sameach tisamach reim reim ha'uvim ki sameicha cho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem. Samach reim reim ha'uvim ki sameicha cho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem. Samach reim ha'uvim ki sameicha cho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem sameach tisamach reim reim.
Sameach tisamach reim ha'uvim ki sameicha cho yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem. Kevin, what's it gonna be? We're gonna like say what's happening.
Yes, yes, you shall sing along. That's great. All right, so WMFO Medford, and we are here at the Tufts University campus in Curtis Hall. The construction on the extension of the Green Line is progressing. I know that it's now in Union Square in Somerville and soon to be up here on College Ave. It's pretty amazing. So after many, many years of looking forward to that to happen, it's going to happen. So I just got in my inbox an announcement from the Terezin Music Foundation, honoring the legacy, inspiring new voices. Mark Ludwig is the executive director. He's been here at the station on my show, and hopefully we'll get him here again. But this is an event that's going to take place in October 16th at Symphony Hall. Jonathan Bliss, he's a celebrated pianist, and he is going to perform there. Also, accepting honors, Senator Ed Markey and Rear Admiral Susan Blumenthal. They will both speak and accept honors at that concert event dinner. Program presents works by Viennese masters Berg, Schoenberg, and Schubert, plus the TMF Commission. World premiere of Coro Allegro of composer Jeremiah Klarman's choral setting of new poems by Rita Dove and Amag Bahar. It sounds like it's going to be quite the evening. The event is entitled Where the Beauty of a Work of Art Begins. It's produced by scholar, musician, and activist Mark Ludwig to benefit Terezin Music Foundation, concerts, commissions, and Holocaust and genocide education programs worldwide. So, let's see if there's anything else I want to tell you about at this particular point. Tickets are available at tmfgala.org and by calling, here's the phone number, 857-222-8263. Also, I'm sure if you go to the Symphony Hall, you'll be able to link up with